You're listening to WDCE FM 90.1 University of Richmond Radio. A little bit tardy this evening, but this is DJ Strider and the Strange Cucumber Show. This is the abbreviated version. I was doing 4 hours from 9 to 1 over the summer, but just 11 to 1 now. And looks like part of the board's not quite working here, so I hope this is coming across. And I have a few interesting things for you this evening. No more Big Daddy story time, but we will start with my favorite song. It's going to be sort of the representative for the show.
Just got home from Illinois, locked the front door open. Listening to Buck Owens, do, 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 looking out my back door. Tambourines and elephants are playing in the band. Won't you take a ride on the flying spoon? Do, 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 one less apparition, divided by magician. Do, 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 looking out my back door.
That was Creedence Clearwater Revival and Looking Out My Back Door, a song I think that would make an excellent children's book, and I'm hoping to conspire with someone on such.
Strider, 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 you sure are a strange cucumber.
And this is DJ Strider. You're listening to the Strange Cucumber Show on WDCE 90.1 FM, University of Richmond Radio. The number in the studio is 804-289-8790 if you got something to say. Some of my listeners have introduced some fantastic new material, and so I appreciate that. Keep it coming in. I'm always interested in learning about new and interesting sonic entertainment.
The following program contains music or materials that some listeners may find offensive. WDC apologizes and urges audience discretion.
Chesterfield was first to name its ingredients. Ingredients that give you the best possible smoke. Now Chesterfield is first to give you scientific facts in support of smoking.
Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields.
This is the age of knowing how to get things done. So, why would you let something like erectile dysfunction get in your way? Isn't it time you talk to your doctor about Viagra? 20 million men already have.
Dip with a little sliced olives, and now for the Ritz. Guys, where are the Ritz?
Now, Chesterfield is first to give you scientific facts in support of smoking.
In just 5 minutes. That's right, 5 minutes. How do I know? I use it myself. Now you can get a full 30-day supply of this breakthrough miracle eye cream absolutely free.
My opinion that the ears, nose, throat, and accessory organs of all participating subjects examined by me were not adversely affected in the 6 months period by smoking the cigarettes provided. Remember this report, and buy Chesterfields either way you like them, regular or king size. Premium quality Chesterfields, and much milder. If that's the game you're missing because of a mean cold, here's something you should know.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take Bromo Quinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Bromo Quinine.
Jeunesse features Relaxiderm technology to smooth your wrinkles away. Call now and you'll also receive our Jeunesse Collagen Builder with natural peptides to help prevent future wrinkles. You'll get both the Jeunesse Eye Cream and the Collagen Builder absolutely free.
Everybody knows the difference. My husband did, my friends did, and my kids noticed the difference.
Unlike other creams or invasive Botox, Jeunesse is all natural with powerful antioxidants. No mineral oil, no petroleum byproducts, and no pharmaceutical preservatives. I was really skeptical because nothing had ever worked before. But Jeunesse literally took years off my face. But don't take our word for it. Try Jeunesse free and see the dramatic results for yourself. When you look in the mirror, you'll be amazed at how vibrant and radiant your skin will be. The other products don't compare to Jeunesse. I get results within 5 minutes, and I look 10 years younger. So try the anti-aging miracle that big cosmetic companies are hoping remains a secret. Get your free 30-day supply of Jeunesse 5-Minute Eye Cream and the Collagen Builder today, and you only pay shipping and handling. Call right now, and you'll also receive our neck tightening treatment as your free gift. While supplies last. While supplies last. While supplies last.
A lot of his advisors compare the current downturn to the Great Depression.
We've made all those comparisons to Herbert Hoover. I mean, is it possible it can get that bad? I mean, we're talking food lines.
They never reached a point like they did in the Great Depression where it was more expensive to make something than you could sell it for.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. They couldn't cut interest rates because they were already at zero.
And guess what? You know, 3 month treasury bills are 0.02%.
Let me assert my firm belief
automatic teller machine
that the only thing we have to fear is
fear itself.
Morning.
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 What's new?
Not much. Morning.
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 Frank was just asking what's new.
Morning.
Yes.
Hey, look. How it's being eaten.
Is he?
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm.
I mean, what's it all about?
Face me. Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight, we're going to sort it all out. For tonight, it's the meaning of life. What's the point of all these hoaxes? Is it the chicken and the egg time? Are we just yokes? Perhaps we're just one of God's little jokes. We're so sad of meaning of life. Is life just a game where we make up the rules while we're searching for something to say? Self-replicating DNA. In this life, what is our fate? Is there a heaven and hell? Do we reincarnate? Is mankind evolving, or is it too late? Well, tonight, here's the meaning of life. For millions, this life is a sad veil of tears, sitting round with nothing to say. What do scientists say? We're just simply spiraling coils of self-replicating DNA. So just why? Why are we here? And just what do we fear? Well, it's a swap. For a change, it will all be made clear. For this is the meaning of life. C'est la chance de la vie. This is the meaning of life.
What? following is an important message from President Clinton and President Bush.
In January, Haiti experienced an environmental catastrophe and human tragedy of epic proportion.
But thanks in part to the generous spirit of the American people, the country of Haiti has survived. But now the people need to thrive. President Clinton and I have seen firsthand the power of your contributions at work.
The Clinton Bush Haiti Fund is on the ground, funding programs that create jobs, teach skills, and assist local businesses.
Our fund is dedicated to supporting initiatives that encourage local entrepreneurs and help build an inclusive economy that lifts up everyone.
Help us continue this work so the people of Haiti have an opportunity to prosper.
Thank you.
To donate, go to ClintonBushHaitiFund.org or text QUAKE to 20222 to give $10. Message and data rates may apply. Brought to you by the Clinton Bush Haiti Fund and the Ad Council.
This is WDCE 90.1 FM, DJ Strider and the Strange Cucumber Show.
Dr. Timothy Leary takes up his part of the tale of the tribe in a Mexican hut and brings his discovery to Harvard harmoniously. And there begins the political battle. Black and white magic become publicly visible for a generation. Dr. Leary is a hero of American consciousness. He he encountered discoveries in his field which confounded him and his own technology. He arrived beyond the boundaries of knowledge. Here we are in science fiction history, in an age of hydrogen bomb apocalypse, the very Kali Yuga wherein men's stupidity so overwhelms the planet that ecological catastrophe begins to rehearse old tribe tales of karmic retribution, fire, flood, and Armageddon pending. Poor Dr. Leary, poor Earth. That the very technology stereotyping our consciousness and desensitizing our perceptions should throw up its own antidote, an antidote synthetic, synchronous with mythic tribal soma and beyond. Given such historic comedy, who could emerge from Harvard technology but the one and only Dr. Leary, a respectable human being, a worldly man faced with the task of a messiah? Inevitable. Dr. Leary, poor Earth. Accelerated evolution. Psychosocial revolution. Alteration of human consciousness. Rapid mutation. Staggering realization. Psychedelic. Consciousness expanding. Mind manifesting in itself. Images of our own unconscious rising from the streets of Chicago, where city tear gas was dumped on Christ's very cross in Lincoln Park, AD 1968. The drains are backing up in the cities. Smog, noise, and physiologic poison in food turns us to insect acts. Overpopulation crazes the planet. Our lakes corrupt. Old riverways become dank dens. Tanks entered Prague and Chicago streets simultaneous. Police state arrives in every major city. Starvation wastes African provinces. Chinese genocide in Tibet mirrors American genocide in Vietnam. Alarm, alarm, howls deep as any biblic prophecy. Gnostic mystery. Dr. Leary's role? Alas, solitary, courageous, human, and frank, public, democratic, bodhisattva teacher in America. Despite the scary contumely of fellow academicians, the dispraising timorous irony of scientific professionals, the stupidity, meanness, self-serving cowardice, and hollow vanity of bureaucratic personnel from Harvard Yard to Mexico City to Washington, from the ignorant sheriff's office in Dutchess County, New York, to the inner greedy Gordon Liddy haunted sanctums of the U.S. Treasury Department in D.C., our whole establishment of civilization that defends us from knowledge of our own unconscious by means of policemen's gloves, and would resist the liberation of our minds and bodies by any brutish means available, including tear gas, napalm, and the hydrogen bomb. Deja vu. Identity brainwash accelerated now to mass neurosis and Cold War apocalypse paranoia. Deja vu. Wisdom of serpent and harmlessness of dove. Poor Dr. Leary, poor Earth. Poor Dr. Leary, poor Earth.
Mr. Huxley, you've just published a book in America, Ape and Essence, which hasn't come out in England yet. It's apt to make us rather jealous here that the book should come out in America before they're published in London. And I, as it won't be out until January here, I wonder if you could tell us something about it.
Certainly. Of course, the problem here is entirely due to the bottleneck in printing and binding. It takes more than a year now to manufacture a book in this country, which is very unfortunate. But to get back to the subject of the book, it's very short. It's a fantasy about the future, about the world after a hypothetical biological and atomic war. The story is roughly as follows. I postulate this post-war world, which has been more or less completely devastated. And what we see is the arrival of an expedition, a scientific expedition from New Zealand, which is one of the few parts of the world which it wasn't worthwhile to obliterate, arriving in search of oil on the coast of California and exploring what remains of Los Angeles. And the story is of one of these scientists who gets captured by the strange savages who live in the ruins of this enormous city. And I won't go into the details of the story, but the chief characteristic of the survivors is that there are very few of them to start with, and also that a large proportion of the children are born with hereditary defects owing to the change in the germplasm induced by gamma radiation. And there's a sort of diabolic religion, one of the rites of which is the sacrifice of these deformed children as they're born. And it's the horror of the situation is this kind of death in birth, which has been the product of the of this most advanced technology and its appalling effects upon nature.
You call it a fantasy. I hope it remains one, but it looks as though it's all too possible that such things may happen.
I think it would be possible. I mean, this whole business, for example, about the genetic effects of radioactivity is something which biologists and geneticists are very much concerned about. I've seen various pronouncements on the subject. And, of course, one of the troubles is that even if we avoid using this thing in war, I can't help feeling there will be very considerable dangers in its use even in industry. After all, no industry can be made so foolproof that there are never any accidents. And in a plant powered by atomic energy or a ship powered by atomic energy, every accident would lead not only to immediate results, much worse than they are at present, but long-range results. You would, if the survivors were not sterilized, they would probably find themselves the bearers of harmful mutations, which would go on to the end of time. I mean, the effect of an apparently relatively trivial accident at a given date would be felt throughout the whole history of mankind, going on and on. I think that remains a real danger. And I don't exactly know how you're going to avoid that. You multiply precautions to an enormous extent if you're going to use the uranium as a fuel. But all the same, I don't see that it can ever be completely safe.
Yes. In that case, we're simply dealing with ordinary peaceable uses of it, apart from this question of armaments.
I was thinking, for example, do you remember about 18 months ago, there was a hideous explosion in a Texas port when two ships loaded with nitrates blew up and a large area in the town was set on fire. But I remember just at the time, there had been various pronouncements by physicists saying that probably the first practical application of atomic energy would be to ships, because they're large enough to be able to carry very heavy shielding, lead or concrete shielding of the material. But I suppose those ships had been powered by atomic energy and had blown up in the way they did. As far as I can see, you would have had an enormous devastation, a great deal of radiation sickness in all the built-up area around the port. Plus, then, the possibility of harmful mutations going on indefinitely, generation after generation.
Yes. I remember the other day we were talking about bacteriological warfare, to get back to this gloomy subject of war. And you had some rather grisly things to say about that. I don't know if you feel like curdling the blood of our listeners by recounting some of these horrors.
Well, to my mind, the danger.
That was Aldous Huxley being interviewed about his book in sort of script or play form called Ape and Essence. Really good read. It would make a fantastic movie if you haven't read it. It's a quick one. But it's really strange, and it'll definitely stay with you for a while. You're listening to DJ Strider on WDCE 90.1 FM. This is the Strange Cucumber Show. The number of the station here is 804-289-8790.
Trains now leaving for Ronsdale, Gonsdale, Flipsdale, Jam City, Rats, Cross, Crisscross, Ratitude, Latitude, Batitude, Hattitude, Nogsley, Dogsley, Frogsley, Homstown, Bombstown, Your Town, My Town, Way Place, Safe Place, Gay Place, Routney, Voutney, Fitney, Schnicksnaw, Crasscraw, Assavaw, Avalanche, Ponce, Pie, Farsville, Darsville, Harsville, Parsville, Crenley, Benley, Senhoff, and Crookney, now leaving on track 12. Boop!
Tickets, please. Poppity-bop, poppity-bop, boobity-boobity-boobity-boop, poppity-bop, poppity-bop, boobity-boobity-boobity-boop. Tickets, please. Let's get our tickets out here. Tickets, please. Peanuts, popcorn, get them on the red hot. Tickets, please. Tickets, please. Let's get our tickets out here. Hoppity-bop, hoppity-bop, boobity-boobity-boobity-boop. Hoppity-bop, hoppity-bop, boobity-boobity-boobity-boop. Tickets, please. Tickets.
Last call for the diner.
How we doing, Fred?
Right on time, Charlie.
Tickets, please. Let's have our tickets out here. Hoppity-boop, hoppity-boop, boobity-boobity-boop. Hoppity-boop, hoppity-boop, boobity-boobity-boop. Hoppity-boop, hoppity-boop, boobity-boobity-boop. Tickets, please. Let's get our tickets. Hoppity-boop, hoppity-boop, boobity-boobity-boop. Hoppity-boop, hoppity-boop, boobity-boobity-boop.
Last call for the diner. What's the matter over there, Charlie? I don't know, Fred. You look like you're stuck. I didn't pull the lid. There we go. What are you doing there, Charlie? I'm trying to do the best. Hey, get the stretcher, Fred. I'll let him do it. Let's all in. Help. What's got the ambulance coming now? 27 dead and 14 injured.
That was the great Lord Buckley doing one of his famous speeches, performances about the train. This is the Shiners and the Oregon Hill Waltz, about a neighborhood right here in Richmond.
Thank you.
everybody. This is Lowell Thomas, and I intend to ask one or two questions, which you too have probably asked, and then I intend to answer them. America for 300 years has been the land of promise for the rest of the world, the land of new frontiers, new opportunities for all. Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, here are my questions and yours. To what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead in America for you, for your children? It is not a difficult assignment to answer these questions. The frontiers of the future are not on any map. They are in the minds of men and in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries we have built up here in America. But now, what's ahead of us? Many of us have had our doubts. There are those who say today that opportunities have ceased to exist. Things are finished. We have everything and not enough. There can be no more progress. Almost 100 years ago in the old patent office in Washington, the commissioner of patents was just as pessimistic as anyone you have ever heard.
The advancement of our arts from year to year taxes our credulity and seems to presage the arrival of that period when human improvements must end.
In other words, in 1844, the commissioner was about ready to shut up the patent office and go home, believing that everything had been invented, that industrial progress in America had already come to an end. He didn't know that within 2 years he would be signing a patent on a method of vulcanizing rubber from which there was destined to spring up hundreds of new industries and jobs by the thousands that were made possible through this one idea. No, the pessimists of that day never dreamed of the marvels that would soon follow their predictions. They overlooked one all-important fact that we should know so well. That is, as long as there is a problem to be solved, or a desire to be met, American ingenuity will not rest. Today, industry in this country is spending over $200 million a year to improve old products and develop new products, which mean new industries, new jobs. They are working constantly to solve problems and find ways to give us what we want, better things for less money. In any one of thousands of test tubes of today, there may be a million job opportunities for tomorrow. 15 years after Commissioner Ellsworth's gloomy predictions, Edwin Drake surprised skeptics by pumping petroleum out of the hills of Pennsylvania. For years, the oil men cursed gasoline. It was a troublesome byproduct, and they dumped millions of gallons of it into the rivers and streams. Then, science discovered that gasoline was liquid horsepower. You know what has happened since. Oil and gasoline we demand today furnishes employment to millions of people, and these are only two products obtained from crude petroleum, which was industrially worthless until American technicians changed a barrel of oil into an Aladdin's lamp, which can produce an endless variety of valuable products. Look at just a few things created by scientific research in laboratories operated by the oil companies of America, byproducts of petroleum, from which have sprung up entirely new industries. Special, tasteless waxes for certain kinds of candies. Wax for sealing letters. So.
Well, on a brighter note, commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles, ain't asking too much, is it?
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was legal.
I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
Thank you for joining us live on the air.
My pleasure.
One nation under God has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug. Television, the drug of a nation. Breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV, its satellite links are United States of unconsciousness. apathetic, therapeutic, and extremely addictive. The methadone metronome, pumping out 150 channels 24 hours a day. You can flip through all of them, and still there's nothing worth watching. TV is a reason why less than 10% of our nation reads books daily. Why most people think Central America means Kansas. Socialism means un-American, and apartheid is the new headache remedy. Absorbed in this world, it's so hard to find us. It shapes our minds the most. Maybe the mother of our nation should remind us that we're sitting too close to the television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV is a stomping ground for political candidates, where bears in the woods are chased by Grecian foremen and bald eagles. TV is mechanized politics, remote control over the masses, co-sponsored by environmentally safe gases. Watch for the PBS special. It's a perpetuation of the two-party system, where image takes precedence over wisdom, where soundbite politics are served to the fast food culture, where straight teeth in your mouth are more important than the words that come out of it. Race baiting is the way to get selected. Will he Horton or will he not get elected on television? The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
On the screen is an address where you can mail your tag offering or gift of love.
Okay, got the idea? All right, fellas, time to
Is it the reflector or the director? Does it imitate us or do we imitate it? Because a child watches 1,500 murders before he's 12 years old. And then we wonder why we created a Jason generation that learns to laugh rather than abhor the horde. TV is a place where armchair generals and quarterbacks can experience firsthand the excitement of video warfare as the theme song is sung in the background. Sugar sweet sitcoms that leave us with a bad actor taste, while pop stars metamorphosize into soda pop stars. You saw the video, you heard the soundtrack. Well, now go buy the soft drink. Well, the only cola that I support would be a union COLA cost of living allowance on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. Again, new and improved, we return to our irregularly programmed schedule, hidden cleverly between heavy-breasted beer and car commercials. CNN, ESPN, ABC, BCB, TNT, but mostly BS, where oxymoronic language like virtually spotless, fresh, frozen, light, yet filling, and military intelligence have become standard. TV is a place where phrases are redefined, like recession to necessary downturn, crude oil on a beach to moose, civilian death to collateral damages, and being killed by your own army is now called friendly fire. TV is a place where the pursuit of happiness has become the pursuit of trivia, where toothpaste and cars have become sex objects, where imagination is sucked out of children by a cathode ray nipple. TV is the only wet nurse that would create a cripple. Television, the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance, feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
You're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM, University of Richmond Radio, and streaming online. Number in the station is 804-289-8790, and this is DJ Strider, and this is the Strange Cucumber Show.
Tidbit here. I have just destroyed Sturdley's day, but Sturdley came in here thinking that 23rd anniversary of the show, and that I was going to be able to proclaim myself a huge winner here. And poor old Bo is sitting in there. This great deal, wonderful victory for fiscal conservatives, raises the debt the most the debt.
Strider, you sure are a strange cucumber.
I know it's in two tranches.
The following program contains music or materials that some listeners may find offensive. WDC apologizes and urges
audience
discretion.
Do you think the stomach is going to be there? Go through this again. Okay, rubber stamp it. Let's move on. If they wanted to get rid of the issue now, they're certainly going to want to get rid of it then and clear the decks for the re-election campaign. According to the Cybercast News Service, citing records published by the Congressional Research Service, if the current bill is passed and the debt limit is increased by $2.4 trillion, the two largest debt limit increases in U.S. history would come in back-to-back years, both during the presidency of Obama. And yet, the media, I'll share with you the stories sometime today. The media filled with the Tea Party, big winners. Tea Party, big winners. It's all designed to get the Tea Party Republicans to vote for the Reid bill that's back in the Senate. Where are we starting here? Dennis in San Diego. Welcome, sir. Great to have you up first on the EIB Network. Hello.
Hey, thanks, Russ. Thanks for letting me have a voice. I'm so angry at the Republican leadership, the cowards. They have subcontracted their taxing authority to some clowns we don't even know who they are. And I'm just beside myself. We don't have an opposition party. We just have a bunch of patsies who pretend like they're going to fight for us. And I've been a Republican all my life. I'm 60. I've lost my business. I lost my house. I've lost my health insurance. And, you know, I had a business in China, and my business there was much more free than my business here. I could create a profit. The only thing I had to do was I had to bribe the communist officials in the region and the town.
Right.
And every year we'd go through the dinner and the bribes.
Yeah, and promise not to have more than one child.
Yeah, but we're already go through the dinner and the bribes.
Yeah, and promise not to have more than one child.
Yeah, but we're already communist here. 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 We don't have a say because our leadership won't fight for us.
Appreciate the call, Dennis. We'll be back.
Since middle of the 20s, 20 years or so.
Have you collaborated with him on a number of works?
Yeah.
Mr. Breck, are you a member of the Communist Party, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
May I read my statement? I'll answer this question. May I read my statement?
Would you submit your statement to the chairman? Mr. Breck, the committee is carefully going over the statement. It's a very interesting story of German life, but it's not at all pertinent to this inquiry. Therefore, we do not care to have you read the statement. Now, I'll repeat the original question. Have you ever been a member of the Communist Party of any country?
Mr. Chairman, I have heard my colleagues and they considered this question not as proper, but I am a guest in this country and do not want to enter in any legal arguments, so I will answer your question fully as well I can. I was not a member, or am not a member of any Communist Party.
Your answer is that you have never been a member of the Communist Party.
That is correct.
You were not a member of the Communist Party for Germany?
No, I was not.
Mr. Breck, is it true that you have written a number of very revolutionary poems, plays, and other writings?
I have written a number of poems and songs and plays in the fight against Hitler, and of course they can be considered therefore as revolutionary, because I of course was for the overthrow of that government.
But Mr. Prince, we're not interested in any words that he might have written calling for the overthrow of Germany.
Yes,
or the government there.
Well, from an examination of the works which Mr. Breck has written, particularly in collaboration with Mr. Hans Eisler, he seems to be a person of international importance to the Communist Revolutionary Movement. Now, Mr. Breck,
you boys just sit down quietly, please, before we're... Go ahead.
Have you written articles which have appeared in publications in the Soviet zone of Germany within the past few months?
This video is William Wallace approved.
America is many things to many people. To a 17-year-old kid, it's the malt shop on the corner.
Hey, look at them. They think they're dancing.
To Grandpa, it's the front porch in the cool of the evening.
Grandpa, how many times we got to tell you not to chew tobacco while you're sleeping or in church?
And to Dad, it's his favorite relaxation. It's the Cracker Barrel philosophers in Crabtree Corners. And it's the tycoons in Wall Street.
Tycoons or buffoons?
It's all races, creeds, and religions.
In Denmark,
it's freedom to work at the job.
Called Private Life of the Master Race. And this scene is one of the scenes out of this play about a Jewish woman in Berlin in the year of 36 or 37. It was, I see, printed in this magazine, Ost und West.
Mr. Translator, would you translate the front piece of the magazine, please?
East and West, contributions to cultural and political questions of the time, edited by Alfred Kantorowicz. K-A-N-T-O-R-O-W-I-C-Z. Berlin, July 1947, first year of publication and price.
Mr. Breck, do you know the gentleman who is the head of the publication, his name is Mr. Breck?
Yes, I knew him. From
to Grandpa,
Berlin.
It's the front porch in the
I
cool
met him
of the evening.
In New York again.
You know him to be a member of the Common Part of Germany?
Church on Sunday morning. And
when I met him in Germany, I think that he was a journalist in the Goodstein Press.
In Crabtree Corner.
That's a...
And it's the tycoons in Wall Street. It's all races, creeds, and religions. It's freedom to work at the job you like. Freedom of speech and to peaceably assemble. Freedom to own property. Security from unlawful search or seizure.
Where's your wife, flatfoot?
The right to a speedy and public trial. Protection against cruel punishments and excessive
fines. Mr. Breck, did you tell the committee how many times
right
you've been to Moscow?
Yeah.
And to worship God in your own way.
I was in...
It is these
was
freedoms
invited
that made
to
America
Moscow,
strong.
Okay, so we got our freedom.
Somebody.
But management's lost everything.
Was,
labor is at
first
fault.
Time
it's ruining
I
the country.
My constituents
was invited,
have your elected representative. I can assure you, labor strike, management strike.
It's an organization
I'm strictly
for
neutral.
Labor, management, politicians, fully.
They can't tell corn from oats.
Step right up, folks. Here's the answer to your problems. Dr. Utopia's sensational new discovery, ism. Ism will cure any ailment of the body politic. It's terrific. It's tremendous. Once you swallow the contents of this bottle, you'll have the bountiful benefit of higher wages, shorter hours, and security. Enormous profits, no strikes. Remember, you're the big boss. Government control, no worry about votes. Name your own salary. Bigger crops, lower costs. Why, ism even makes the weather perfect every day. And now then, because we are introducing this amazing item for the first time in this country, it isn't going to cost you 1 cent. All you have to do is sign this little scrap of paper, and you get your bottle absolutely free.
I hereby turn over to ISM Incorporated everything I have, including my freedom and the freedom of my children and my children's children, in return for which, said ism promises to take care of me forever.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
And who are you, my good man?
I'm John Q. Public.
Ah, my fine friend, you're just in time to share this generous and gigantic offer. Sign right here.
Mind if I read it first? Keep your shirts on, boys.
You know, including my freedom.
Freedom? Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us.
Brett told me his plan to organize a theater in Berlin that would reenact the most interesting court trials in the history of mankind. For example, the trial of Karl Marx. The story of economics brought Brett to Marx and Lenin, whose works became an indispensable part of his logic. Brecht studies and quotes Lenin. Lenin is a great thinker and is a great master of prose. According to Brecht, the theater should act upon the spectator's intellect. The traditional drama portrays the struggle of class instincts. Brecht demands that the struggle of class instincts be replaced by the struggle of social consciousness, of social conviction. He maintains that the situation must not only be felt, but explained, crystallized, into the idea which will overturn the world. Brecht, the artist, has an extremely broad and varied range. He has composed many ballads, songs, and choruses on the subject of revolutionary ruthlessness. His bookshelf, however, contains books of science and action and Lenin.
You're listening to WDC 90.1 FM, University of Richmond Radio. This is DJ Strider and the Strange Cucumber Show, and this is an excerpt from the hearing of Bertolt Brecht before the House Un-American Activities Committee. But we're going to take a break for a little PSA.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Propaganda is vastly more important in democratic societies.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
By the early 1950s, Communist Party membership had declined considerably, but Cold War propaganda inflated its threat to fantastic proportions. An evil so pervasive that the whole society had to be mobilized to combat it.
May Day brings a wave of anti-communist sentiment as 100,000 march down New York Fifth Avenue in a loyalty parade. Everyone from vets to youngsters reveals his inborn dislike of communism.
Do you recall that interview, Mr. Brick?
No.
A an answer to those menacing our country's liberty.
Must have been written 20 years ago.
What is this? Where do you think you're going?
We are I'll show you the magazine.
Already we are 15 minutes behind schedule.
I do not doubt there was.
You're not going to take another step until I see your warrant.
We need no warrant. As a member of the Young Communist League, your
daughter
volunteered
for the call.
He's to be transported
immediately.
You say my daughter volunteered?
I think it is a...
Here's the signature.
More or less journalistic...
Signature on that piece of paper is false. And everything you've said is a lie because my daughter would never leave here of her own free will.
A summary of
you've got no right to be in this house. I'm going to give you just 10 seconds to get out of here.
Daddy?
Many things made
it's
by
true,
Lenin.
Daddy.
Have many of your writings been based upon the philosophy of Lenin, Marx?
The party convinced me that I should free myself of the lingering bourgeois.
No, I don't think that is quite correct.
I am ready.
And, but, of course, I studied, had to study as a playwright, I think, who wrote historic
plays. Do not interfere.
I,
it is for my own good.
Study,
Comrade
study,
do not think that your deviation is from Marx shall be overlooked. It will be reported properly.
Ideas of history. I do not think that ancient days, they can be without that study.
Right.
Also, history now, written now, is slightly influenced by...
Was it really a victory for good government, Mr. Brown? Or was it a victory
Mr. Bragg,
for propaganda?
Mr. Bragg, since you've been in the United States, have you met with any officials
well, we've
of the Soviet government?
Citizenship in school. In a few years, I'll start voting.
Yes.
I've been following the campaign.
Yes. In,
so much was said on both sides. In, I'm confused. How can you know what to believe when there's so much propaganda? Perhaps I can help
sometimes,
you,
sometimes, three or four times...
There might also be called a victory for propaganda. But that would have been equally true if our opponent had won.
But that's what I mean. Everybody uses propaganda.
Oh, no, not everybody, Chuck. I've been studying it for some years. Propaganda made this picture. Propaganda skillfully employed to turn millions of men to a cruel hatred of their fellow men. On the other hand, propaganda often persuades us to help our fellow men. The products of our factories are also known around the world through propaganda in the form of advertising salesmanship. The study of history reveals a great deal of propaganda that has been used to fight wars and win wars.
Visit you on April the 14th, 1943.
Propaganda can also be used for peace.
Consulate, the Soviet government.
Well, you see, Chuck, propaganda
you know Gregory
is important. Well worth any time you give studying.
Watch out on this one.
But how can you study
said name, but
well, you can begin by investigating the techniques of propaganda.
Let me come and visit you.
Here.
On April the 14th, 1943.
Glittering generalities.
And again on April the 27th.
Name calling.
And again on June 16th, 1944.
Thank you.
Yes, the world at large is fascinated with so-called flying saucers. However, they do not fly, they oscillate.
your butt through the day selling body and soul to a bunch of bland normals, acting stupid so they'll think you're one of them, tired of getting all of the guilt but none of the sex? There is a simple answer, dear friend. A glowing beacon of slack amidst the turmoil and darkness. It's J.R. Bob Dobbs, the living slack master in his Church of the Subgenes. Bob brings a new destiny for the abnormal. For Bob comes to justify our sins, to unmask the conspiracy, and to get us back the slack they stole away. It's us versus them. Are you gonna fry in hell on earth alongside the pink boys? Or will you pull the wool over your own eyes and accept Bob into your mind? Repent, quit your job, slack off, and praise Bob!
Church of the Subgenes, eternal salvation, or triple your money back.
Adieu, adieu. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-doo. I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa, loompa, doompa-da-dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a glut of TV?
A pain in the neck and an IQ of 3.
Why don't you try simply reading a book?
Or could you just not bear to look?
You'll get no commercials.
Oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too, like the oompa, oompa, loompa, oompa-dee-doo.
So much to do, so much to do. Invoices, bills, letters. I must answer that note from the Queen.
Mr. To the happiness of your loving wife.
It's Satan! It's Satan! We'll make her one of us. A loving cup, a loving cup.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
We accept her, we accept her.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
One of us, one of us.
Gooba gobble.
They're going to make you one of them. My peacock.
Gooba gobble.
Tick, 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 tick
begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues which lash out. We get more thoughts to pound out, and we won. Time begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues which lash out. We get more thoughts to pound out, and we won.
Tick tock, tick, I lost it when the oxygen it got mixed in with shots of gin. And you can fix your optics and all my cosmic spits that rip through off the wind.
The fellows tend to fall at my feet, swing back, switch tracks, I'm carrying the beat, drink all my sours with ice and not neat. On the surface, some trouble, but what am I beneath? But what am I beneath? Deep beneath it all, I've got this soul that screams, these eyes that beam, and all these thoughts I dreamed. And you've lost yourself in this music I breathe, these truths that I've proved are the truest. All I've got, the soul that screams, these eyes that beam, all these thoughts I dream. And you lost yourself in this music I breathe, these truths that I've proved are the truest.
When I rhyme, I'm heavy with my lines when I rhyme, thoughtful with my flows when I go. Yeah, I'm thoughtful with my flows when I go.
Tick tock, I'm off the clock, I'm like a time bomb.
Goodbye.
Tick tock, I'm off the clock, I'm like a time bomb.
Goodbye.
Begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues which lash out. We get more thoughts to pound out, and we won. Time begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues which lash out. We get more thoughts to pound out, and we won.
There's high hopes for us when eyes open up to live load of cuts that I wrote with love. There's love in the air, there's blood in the face, no dust on the snare, better trust the embrace. There's high hopes for us when eyes open up to live load of cuts that I wrote with love. There's love in the air, there's blood in the face, no dust on the snare, better trust in the breaks. Better trust in the trust and the trust in the breaks.
Lest you bring me to riot, taste it and see it's your last chance to try. But geez, don't hold me quiet. It's sublime when I speak, and I know that you like it. Take care of me, lest you bring me to riot, taste it and see it's your last chance to try. But geez, don't hold me quiet. It's sublime when I speak, and I know that you like it. Time begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues. We slash out and get more thoughts penned out, and we won. Time begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues. We slash out and get more thoughts penned out, and we won.
I'm heavy with my lines when I rhyme. I'm heavy with my lines when I rhyme. I'm thoughtful with my flows when I go. Yeah, I'm thoughtful with my flows when I go.
Time brings together and time falls apart. Time begets trouble. Time begets trouble. Time brings together and time falls apart. Time begets trouble. Time begets trouble. Time brings together and time falls apart. Time begets trouble. Time begets trouble. Time brings together and time falls apart. Time begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues which lash out. We get more thoughts to pound out, and we won. Time begets trouble, and trouble begets tongues which lash out. We get more thoughts to pound out, and we won.
Chesterfield was first to name its ingredients. Ingredients that give you the best possible smoke.
He was the nation's youngest Eagle Scout at the age of 13. And twice journeyed to Asia before the advent of commercial flight. He attended America's first class on nuclear physics and was a pioneer at the dawn of American aviation. He led expeditions into then remote islands as a member of the famed Explorers Club and was a giant in the golden age of pulp fiction. He was a master mariner, licensed to captain vessels on any ocean, and a United States naval officer who commanded corvettes during World War II. His landmark work on the human mind wrote bestseller lists for 100 consecutive weeks. And he's the most published and translated author of all time. He is L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology. He was the nation's youngest Eagle Scout at the age of 13. And twice journeyed to Asia before the advent of commercial flight. He attended America's first class on nuclear physics and was a pioneer at the dawn of American aviation. He led expeditions into then remote islands as a member of the famed Explorers Club and was a giant in the golden age of Pulp Fiction. He was a master mariner, licensed to captain vessels on any ocean, and a United States Naval officer who commanded corvettes during World War II. His landmark work on the human mind wrote bestseller lists for 100 consecutive weeks. And he's the most published and translated author of all time. He is L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology.
That cat there?
Must be full of reefers.
Full of reefers?
Yeah, man.
You mean that cat's high?
Sailing lightly.
Did you get away from here? Man, is that the reefer, man?
That's the reefer, man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
Thank you. You're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM, University of Richmond Radio, and streaming online, WDCE.org. This is the end of the Strange Cucumber Show. You've been with DJ Strider. I hope you've enjoyed it. Certainly have tried to make it strange. And I'll be back next week at this time, 11 p.m. Sunday night to 1 a.m. Monday morning, or roughly thereabouts. So we'll close that with a few numbers. Full moon tonight, by the way, for those who haven't already gotten out and danced under it.